right now got Jeff Walsh, who only minutes ago, I know there's been some little discussion around. I don't know how he's got into this quickly, but he's the St Kilda Executive General Manager of footy. After 30 years in the industry, that could be your most grandiose title. Welcome, Walshy.
Thanks, Gary. Yeah, it is. It sounds impressive.
Yeah, you've been in footy, Ed. We just talked to Soss. You're going way, way back. Started 1994, was that your first official moment?
95. I started with Fitzroy.
Right.
In Fitzroy, Arthur Wilson, who's just recently departed, dear old Arthur, he gave me my first chance in football. It just shows you how things change in footy. I was on a plane on the way to the Gold Coast on a holiday with my wife, and I read an ad in the Herald Sun.
Really?
Fitzroy were looking for what they call a Metropolitan Development Officer, which in essence was the general manager of your under-19s and under, because we had zones in those days, 15s, 17s. So I wrote off a application, and there was a letter waiting in the mail when I got home from the Gold Coast.
were there officers in the pub back in those days? Where were they?
In those days, they're very nomadic. Yeah. They were training in the gym at the Junction Oval.
Yep.
They had offices in Scotchmere Street, Fitzroy, on the corner of St George's Road there. And they trained at Northcote Oval, the old VFA ground, which is now Metropolitan Ground. Home games were at Victoria Park. Yeah.
Right. It made it hard for them.
So was your next stop Carlton after Fitzroy?
Yeah, I was only 1 year at Fitzroy.
Yep.
And then, Carlton in 86 to 94.
CEO, General Manager of footy, Director of footy, you've done some investigations, some reviews, you've done it all. What drives you back to footy and in this instance back to the St Kilda Footy Club?
Yeah, that's a good question. Because it'll be 2 years in December since I left the Pies. And I was hoping that you wouldn't go from 100 to zero, particularly in footy, because 36 years, it's probably all I know. Some people say I don't even know that. I was lucky enough that I did keep an involvement in footy through some involvement in the reviews at Carlton, reviews at North. Did probably 3 months work for the AFL on the Tasmanian license. So it kept my appetite for footy sated. And when you get an opportunity and an approach from a club like St Kilda, it rekindles the fire a bit. So I think you realise, perhaps it never goes out, and then that might be a bad thing.
So specifically, what is it that draws you back into the game all the time?
Look,
is it the challenge?
I think certainly the challenge, yeah. And particularly when, being perfectly honest, your ego gets tickled if a club or someone comes to you and says, look, we think you can help us.
Yep.
So that's a small part of it. But the challenge of and particularly with the Saints, where they're poised at the moment, that they, you'd like to think that you can contribute to a rise up the ladder. But when you pair it all back, I think it's the adrenaline of the winning and losing each week. You do miss that, and it's strange to say the losing, but I mean, it's an emotional roller coaster. The highs, as you guys will well know, they're very high. There's a lot of lows. But it's the camaraderie, the people that you can share those wins and losses with.
Do you feel you can ride those out better after the experiences of your football lifetime now, your football journey?
Yeah, absolutely, no doubt. I think one of the things that it's taught me, and hopefully it makes you a bit more rounded, even at my age, that when you're in footy, you think you're solving world peace problems. You think it's the most important thing in the world. But when you're out of it, you realise, it's a great involvement. It's a great sport. It's so many people. It feeds so many people, both in even in employment sense, but in their interest and their passion. But it's a game, and I think that will help me be a better person and a better leader, understand what's core importance and what's not.
So there's going to be two. We've got some other questions, given the state of football and some of the they're not peripheral issues, they're major issues that are non-football based. I'm going to ask you about those to a degree in a moment, but specifically on St Kilda. So you've got St Kilda fans out there that are listening. What's your take on this footy club who have, you know, 66, they're one of the, well, they're the longest serving club without a premiership. What do you see in them?
Well, yeah, I think, as I said before, that to me, that was part of the challenge, just to see where the club is at right now. Look, yeah, they had a wonderful start to 2022, 8-3. They finished 11-11, so obviously it was a mirror image, the back half, 3-8. So it's not as if they're devoid of talent or they're devoid of hope or that you think that they can. So I think that there's an opportunity for them to springboard into that bottom half of the eight as a first step. So that's exciting to me. And I think, I think I heard James Gallagher say the other day, and I agree with him, you know, one of the things that the Saints need to do, you know, with this trade and draft period and the next, and even the next, is an injection of some top end talent to assist the you know, because they've got a lot of good players. I think that they would really benefit and do well by an injection of some top end talent. So that's one of the things that I think will help them up the road.
I don't think there's any doubt about that. It's probably hard for you to say, you haven't really got there, but the perception maybe is they're not hard enough as a footy club, that they've been, you know, just content to go along a little bit and not be abrasive if they need to be in certain areas, if it be the mongrel side of it, which, you know, maybe that's what you're going to bring to the table, I don't know. I don't want to stereotype you, but you're old school and you can make tough, hard decisions and be unapologetic about it. Would that ring true? Not.
I don't know specifically about the St Kilda Footy Club right now, because, as you said, I really haven't stepped foot in the door. But I think that one of the things that I'd like to think I can bring to the table is the willingness to make a hard call or to have a hard conversation, to not walk past something if you see and you know it's wrong, that I'm, you know, willing to call it out. You'd have to ask, you know, Simon Lethlone and Andrew Bassett, but whether that appeals to them in me, I don't know. And this might sound abrasive and the Saints fans might get upset, but one of the things that I think, you know, when asked about, you know, how do I see St Kilda, I think the competition would say there's been a degree of irrelevance. And that might, as I say, that should be abrasive. That should sort of choke down people's throats. And I hope that going forward that I can contribute to a profile that gives the Saints the due respect that they crave.
You've been around the game a long time. I'm talking to Jeff Walsh. You've been around the game a long time. In that time, the role of the coach or the style of coaching has changed dramatically. How do you see that now in terms of the perfect world, in the perfect environment with that coach, with a coach?
Look, I think the main criteria for a successful coach these days has to be around their man management, their people skills, their willingness to embrace, their willingness to show their playing group that they are vulnerable people themselves, that they do need help at times, that they don't know everything. And you've got to wrap that or have that wrapped around an aura of strength, leadership, follow me. So it's a delicate psychological profile, I suppose. But
do you think it's a more difficult job than it's ever been before for an AFL coach?
Absolutely.
Because of the added scrutiny to that as well?
The added scrutiny, the change in society, you know, young people are much more questioning. You know, when I started with some of the coaches who had great success, you know, Dennis Pagan, great friend of mine, that, you know, I would doubt, other than maybe the Duck, anyone would question Dennis, you know, jump how high, and had great success, and the discipline and the structure and the routine that Dennis put in place was both successful but unquestioned. Yeah. Today, I don't think that young people sort of accept that. They want to ask the reason why for everything.
So further to that, at the events of recent times, whether it be the Hawthorn situation, the Essendon situation that's unfolded in the past 24 hours, has that given you pause to think about re-entering footy?
Yeah, absolutely. Because of the scrutiny and because of the responsibility that you carry, and as I said a bit before, earlier, half flippant but half seriously, that the scrutiny that we, particularly in Melbourne and Australia and certainly down the eastern seaboard, attach and the importance we attach to AFL footy, it sort of blows everyone's ability to comment on every little thing about the people involved, which often doesn't have a great relevance to the job that they're employed to do. Yet the commentary on it is heightened to the extent that the people involved in it have to really pause and think, hang on, am I saying the right thing here? You know, like, am I saying something that is going to be either politically challenged or morally challenged? Where in the old days, you'd think you'd be confined to the X's and O's and the wins and losses, and you know who's got a hamstring and who hasn't.
That's it. And that's so. Had an article not appeared in a paper yesterday about Andrew Thorburn, we interviewed him yesterday. We wouldn't have been aware of where he sat on the issues that have now led to his resignation. Should we know where your allegiances or your thoughts and lie in terms of some of the issues that he's had to deal with? Should St Kilda be supporters want to know? And as there have been some, you know, I don't know whether these are flippant comments, but make sure you ask Jeff about his position on abortion and homosexuality. Are these the sorts of things that we have to now tick off on?
Personally, I don't think they're issues that we have to tick off on or that they should enter into the realms of what we're dealing with. I understand, as I say, it's a broad church of opinion. Society has changed immensely in terms of people have the right, and that's reasonable to speak up on anything and everything. Should people lose their jobs over it? Should people feel marginalised? Should people feel lesser of a person because of those views? It's debatable, I reckon.
Can I just ask you this one quick question, just specifically about this and, you know, what happened at Hawthorn, Indigenous players and the handling of certain issues around welfare and that type of thing. Has that changed your mind dramatically or significantly about what you might be doing when you go to St Kilda and you're dealing with issues around Indigenous players or First Nations players?
Firstly, I think that the welfare role in a club is more important than ever. So you need someone who's really experienced, who's got some great life experiences. So you can't appoint a graduate into those sort of roles, which we once did because of the financial ramifications.
Yeah.
But so you need someone who's got broad life experiences, and certainly, you know, the multicultural aspect of AFL quite rightly continues to grow in importance and in their contribution to our game. So I think when you measure that contribution against the respect, if you like, the work that you do with your entire list, they should be no more or no less considered than others. But certainly, as I said before, the contribution that particularly the Indigenous players have made to our game over decades, and also, you know, what history has shown us in terms of some of the issues where they feel they've been marginalised, and history has proven that they're correct, that they're quite right in wanting a really strong and reasonable voice at the table.
Jeff Walsh, the new Executive General Manager of footy, his first interview with us, which is great. Before we let you go, trade period's up and about. You're at arm's length. Zane Cordy's name's been mentioned at the footy club. Is he someone of interest? And are we, from a St Kilda point of view, more invested in the draft than the trade.
Yeah, I think that's right. All you just said then, Gary. That I know James Gallagher has spoken at length with Zane Cordy and his management, and I think all things being equal, and as long as there can be a reasonable outcome with the Bulldogs, that we would like to get Zane into a St Kilda Guernsey. Other than that, I think there are a few little bits and pieces that are related to picks and trying to perhaps group a couple of picks together to get further up the order like everyone does. So yeah, essentially it might be a draft or a time where we'll go to the draft as opposed to trade.
Great to have you back. Saints supporter, love hearing someone actually speaking facts about our footy club. Sounds like it's going to be something we need. And then another Saints supporter, one of the most refreshing interviews I've heard. We need to get tougher. Bravo, Jeff Walsh. Good luck. It's an interesting times. Good luck for you and the St Kilda Footy Club. And you've always been great with us here at SEN. Always. I don't know why they say you don't like the media.
Why they say it's a grumpy old.
We love you in here, and you're always welcome. Good luck, Walshy.
Thanks, Gary.
Jeff Walsh joining us in the studio.